Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here I am. Sorry about that, you guys. Good evening, good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. Today is 9/10/2022, and you tune into the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. Thank you for joining us today. And while I was saying the time, I happened to pull up and see that the time in London, England currently is 11:04 p.m. Had to bring that up because, as many of you should surely know, that Queen Elizabeth passed a couple of days ago, and 70 years, 70 long years, she's been the Queen of England. That's a long, long time. You think about it, she's probably seen, or well, I'm pretty sure she's met just about every U.S. president in modern times, of course. I guess, what, you go back to, I don't know, would it be Eisenhower or even, who would have been the first president that she met? I could take a look at that. But we're going to talk about that and some of the political madness that's going on. And again, I want to bring up something I brought up the other week about the elections that are coming up soon, the midterms and here in Georgia. You know, Raphael Warnock and Herschel Walker. This is really getting to be interesting because there is proof that Herschel Walker hasn't told the truth all the time about his background, and there's some really damning video of his wife, you know, making the claim that he threatened their life with a gun. So, and his response in his video is, well, my wife and I, we're the best of friends now. You just shake that shit off like that? How do you just say, like, oh, it was no big deal? You know, I was dealing with some mental health problems. Okay, God bless you. And I hope that you, you know, get through them. But if you had a mental problem back then, who's to say you're not going to have one if you go in the office, if you have some kind of mental breakdown? This is getting crazier and crazier. And what's really crazy is that the race is kind of close. It's kind of close. I don't know. But that's something else that we're going to talk about. And along with that, I was just also thinking of celebrities, not just actors, but celebrities who went into politics. And there's a lot of them. there's a lot of them, so I want to get you guys input on that. You recall some of them. And I know there's a lot of them that you like, their movies, their shows, but did you start not liking them because you found out that they were a particular party, or does it matter to you, you know? We'll get into all that and more, but right now let me open to my co-host, the lady of the house, Miss Janet Pollitt Hawkins Davis.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Michael? Okay. Yeah, you know what? I totally forgot about celebrities that are in politics. You just said it.
Oh, yeah. When I thought about her for a while, I said, what did I think about all this? Yeah, I know. It's not a problem. But I said, you know, we got to talk about that because there's a lot. There's been a lot, you know. And it's funny when you go back and think about it and what they ran for, what offices they held, and some that still are in office. I'm sure there's a few that are still in there. So, yeah, we're going to get into that. And then also, I got to open up the mic to the man in California land, Mr. Timon Shield.
Hey, what's going on, Mike? Hey, Janet, how are you?
Hey, Timon. Sounds good.
I'm just getting through all this this heat, and then the heat went down, and then we got humidity like we in the South.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we weren't used to that. I mean, you know, it's one thing to be, you say, okay, you know, because it has cooled down. Remember, we had triple-digit heat all the week, and then bam, now we're getting, you know, it's warm, but it's humid.
And they say it's not climate change. Global warming, climate change.
Well,
that's what you know,
people who say that there's no climate problem are also the same ones who are QAnon and flat earthers.
Right. Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah. So
interesting. It just surprises me when you say humidity in California. It's because. That's all
well,
because
well, you know, Mike,
when
they
I
normally have a dry heat. They do have a dry heat here. But because of that storm that was on the outskirts there of Mexico that came up from the it was a tropical storm that came
from
the Bahamas, I guess, or wherever.
Oh,
it's running alongside. It's going to run along the coast. And so that's what's bringing the humidity, and it brought us rain. I mean, we had gotten some rain. A lot of people had some flash flooding and everything. So, and, you know, California really need rain.
Right.
Wow.
Badly, you know. And that's something
that's...
So,
here we are. Yes, there is climate change, even though those idiots out there, that it's got to be something, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they don't have to. As they say, you don't have to worry. Man is gonna screw it up anyway. This one thing y'all ain't got to worry about. The women ain't got to worry about this, Janet. When they ask you who did it, you know who to point to. Men did it.
They did it.
All right, I just opened up the mic to another co-host, but also the host of her own show every third Thursday of the month here on the TMZ and the Microwave Network. It's called Let's Talk About It. It's your host, Cotton, KC Campbell.
Hey, everybody. I just get so tickled every time he does that. I don't know why. It just makes me giggle immediately. Like, immediately I start getting... I need that on my radio show. Like, honestly, I need that whole little drop on my radio show. So when I put it on, it says that.
I just roll my eyes up in my head when he does it for me. Because he names every name.
He put out all your government.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I mean, you know, it's so funny if you think about it now. I mean,
a lot of people use their full name. Am I right?
That's true.
Yeah,
I know school principal.
I know a school principal. When I was doing construction, and Janet, you remember back when I was doing construction on this one school, when you came to her, she said, excuse me, it's Dr. Smith. I'm like, okay, because I was saying Principal Smith. She's like, it's Dr. Sandra Smith. I'm like, you're just an elementary school principal. You ain't no college principal, college chancellor. What the hell? Elementary school principal.
Was that Officer Quint Crenshaw that said that we can blame the men for what's going on right now?
That was timing.
What's that?
Oh, that was timing shit? Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to see who's going to blame y'all anyway. It don't matter if it was y'all. We blame y'all for everything anyway.
Wow. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, because if you think about it, you know, if you go from the Constitution to everything, the amendments, they were all written by white dudes. Y'all ain't had no say in that. They wrote
That's
all
true.
That stuff. So when they go down the line and say, hey, man, we had climate. There ain't no climate issue. We can keep burning all this oil. We can keep, you know, just melting the ice. You know, they'll say that the ice caps are melting. Oh, that happens naturally. No. You got involved in it, you know, and we steady doing all the things they had told us that we shouldn't do, and we just keep doing it because we want to make money. And hey, the women gonna step back and say, "Now, yeah, they told y'all, you didn't listen."
Right.
Wow.
Well, you have.
That's what I mean.
Everything's been our fault. Yeah, it is our fault. We will be blamed. If it wasn't for Adam eating that apple, that who gave it to him? Oh okay. Anyway, as we move on, I forgot who gave Adam that apple. I can't remember
that part. It was
might as well
bake
him a pie, you know, an apple pie or something. She might as well say, hey, here's an apple pie, you know, something. Just try to hide this, you know, this something, you know. Yeah, but, well, they didn't have ovens then. But anyway, but it's man's fault. And it was his fault. You know, it's so funny. I had an argument with some person to say, oh, you guys want to say it's woman's fault. Well, no one forced him to eat that apple. Oh, here we go. No one forced him. But we're not going
to
get into
that.
That was funny though. No one forced him to eat that apple. But anyway, well, let's talk about the passing of the Queen of England, Queen Elizabeth.
Oh yeah.
From what I understand now, I mean, it came up and I was kind of surprised because it just, you know, just boom, it was there. Because when I read a little bit of the story, that doctors were a little concerned about her health, but it wasn't like there was a warning, you know what I mean? It wasn't like it was like, hey, you know, like here, you know, they'll say, so-and-so is rushed to the hospital. This is a, you know, ongoing story. We'll follow up shortly. It was like they knew something wasn't right, that she turned for the worse all of a sudden, and next thing you know, she passed. Is that what you guys understand? At least that's what I understand, that they were a little concerned, but it was like it just.
But her health had already been going down, Mike.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Her health had already been going down, even back when the husband got sick. When her husband got sick, her health wasn't that great. I mean, 96 years old. I mean,
that's a long life.
That's a long time. You know, and they probably didn't expect her to get this far with COVID and everything going on. I mean, she's got the best doctors in the world. You know, they everybody watching out, and she eats a very strict diet. I mean, her diet, they talked about one time, was they don't eat, like, potatoes and stuff. It's like vegetables and fish or vegetables and meat, but it was never anything, you know, they don't add any extra. Very strict. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's the way I took it from this one. article that, you know, I guess the way they said that, like, yes, of course her health was going down, but they just didn't expect it to her to deteriorate that quickly, I guess, is the way they were trying to explain it, that, you know, it just really shifted kind of fast, faster than they expected, according to the article that I have read. But, and think about it, 70 years, and I found where some people in the story about her, I've heard some folks say that, you know, that posted, you know, long, condolences to the royal family and everything, and even Jeffrey Daniel of Shalimar, he had said on his Facebook page, you know, there's some things that, you know, that verbatim, not saying exactly what he said, but, you know, he has some thoughts about, you know, things there, but he will say that for a later time. But he did give a great tribute because he's lived over there. He's met, you know, some of the royal family perform for them. But somebody had to get into go in there, make a comment, a negative comment, but he responded and said, and that's why I said at a later date, we can talk about it, but now is not the time. What do you guys think about when people say that the royal family, is that there was some racism in the royal family, especially when Phil Markle married Harry, that, you know, all that that drama that happened and the falling out between the two brothers, because, you know, those two have been opposite with each other ever since his wedding, since he married Mikhail. So what's your thoughts about it? And they say that, well, the queen always had to say so, or whatever she said, everybody tried to follow. But Harry said, no, I'm not going along with this. He left money, and by the way, he's got millions. She has millions. But what's your thoughts about, you know, do you believe that the queen disapproved of their marriage, or had anything to do with the falling out between the two brothers? And I'm not trying to make this a thing as far as being negative towards her, but she's human. You know, she has feelings. She has opinions and thoughts. Do you believe that she was in that old-fashioned way of, you know, stay with your own? I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Because that's been brought up in a few conversations.
But she didn't like Princess Di, did she?
In the beginning, I don't think she did. I don't believe she really liked her. Because she was... Because
the fact
Princess
Di
didn't
one of those
come
mothers.
Aware
of
her.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think she's just one of those mothers who are overly protective and too in the business of her children. That's what it more sounds like. I can't say that she's rich. I don't really know a lot about her, and I don't, you know, and condolences to the family, but I'm still trying to figure out what her position is for the United States, that we give so much and that we are praising these people so much. I don't know, I'm 53, and I can't remember where they've done anything directly for the United States in the 53 years that I can recall. And I could be wrong. I just need to do some research. But right now, I just don't. We got, you know, just people that are more important in the United States than the queen over there. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Right. Janet, what about you? I mean, what's your thoughts on that as far as,
well,
I
thought it was Queen Elizabeth's husband that really had something to say about Harry and Meghan's children, whether they were going to be too dark. And then you also have to think about all the colonies that they had that was a lot of, I guess, you know, people that were enslaved and everything back in the past. And then they said they didn't have any minorities in the cabinet as far as, you know, people, you know. So, it's hard to say. Nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. And they said Queen Elizabeth never really talked about politics or anything like that. She was always neutral, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I know through what I had been reading, I thought it was her husband that had something to say about Harry and Meghan's children. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I did hear that come up too. But yeah, you know, I just wonder, and maybe I said that wrong, that, you know, why she didn't speak out more of that situation. Though she was very, from my understanding, she was a very, you know, upfront person, but some things, I guess, as you said, stays behind closed doors, right? You know, so maybe she didn't want her thoughts or opinions shared, and I guess it went through everybody else, you know, or she let it just be the way it is.
They were really concerned about what the first baby was going to look like, and that caused a lot of grief between Harry and Meghan. And I think he did the right thing when he took her out of that situation, you know, and he mm-hmm. decided not to participate anymore. But then King Charles offered his little condolences and everything to them on the TV. So who knows?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
They were there. talking to the people, William and his wife, Kate, was on one side and they were on the other. And, you know, they greeted all the people that were there, you know, today. So
right,
who knows
yeah.
what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah, and that's what the people of you know, England are wondering of the UK. What's going to happen with King Charles? It's funny, you know, social
mm-hmm.
media can be cruel and can be funny and it can be a lot of things. And I saw a photo pop up yesterday, and I think it was Penny Ford who posted it. I believe it was her. But it was a picture of King Charles with a guitar in his hand, like he's jamming. And it says, the artist formerly known as Prince. So already they're coming up with these memes. I think it's a little early, but, you know, they're coming up with these memes poking fun at King Charles. There was another thing that happened the other day. As you all know, I work at Walmart, and one of the managers said, hey, Mike, can you help me with something? I said, okay. And so she asked me to go get a ladder and meet her out front of the store. Excuse me. So I went and got a ladder, 8-foot ladder. It was the only one available, and I went out front. She says, we got to drop this flag to half mast. I just got a text from corporate, you know. And so I did so, and it can't touch the building, you know. They said that it can't. It's got to be able to wave and not touch the building. Did all that, tied it off. I go to take it back in, and one of the employees said, why are we dropping the flag to half mast? I said, well, because Jeff of Queen Elizabeth. She's not American, is what they said. And I'm like, well, true, but England is one of our, you know, they're our ally. But I thought, they said we only dropped it for issues here in America. What's your guys' thoughts on that, though, for that comment? It's something to think about, but we've dropped the flag to half mast on other things, too, right? And I think, as someone else said, out of just respect for the fact that she, you know, has been the queen. But do you see any problem? Because when you look at the history of how it all started, how the United States started, we can go back to Boston Tea Party or all kinds of stuff, you know. What's your thoughts?
Well, Michael, well, can I say something? When we
sure.
had 9/11, they said that that they played the national anthem because of 9/11. You know, so that, I guess
mm-hmm.
that's just pure respect, you know, for your
mm-hmm.
ally.
Right. No, I agree with you. The reason why I asked that, because some folks, as I said, didn't believe that we should be doing that, but which I did say to them, well, they are an ally. You know, but then people want to bring up the whole history of, you know, the United States versus, you know, the UK or whatever, you know, well, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, you know, you're really talking about things that were actually made better from the worst. You follow what I mean? It was made better from the worst. So I think that that was a good gesture for them to drop the flag for the Queen of England.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how many presidents she has met over her reign. I was thinking about that earlier today, and Janet, like, you know, you've seen how many presidents? What, 12, 13?
Right.
I think you said, you know, in your lifetime, come and go in the White House.
Yeah, 13.
Who was the first one she had? Who was the first one for her? I mean, you're talking about 70 years. What, would it be Eisenhower?
I thought it was, they said Truman.
Say that again?
I thought they said Truman, because he was before Eisenhower.
I'm sorry, you kind of faded. Repeat that one more time.
I said I thought it was Truman.
Truman, okay. So, right. He was. So think about it. She's met every U.S. president since Truman. All the way up to Biden.
Right.
That's something. And, of course, the first black president, Barack Obama, but she's met every single U.S. president. And it seems like all of them have some great things to say, you know, about her. And
I think the only one she didn't meet was Johnson.
Johnson, okay.
Mm-hmm, that was the only one.
And based on what? I don't know why that wasn't possible. Do you have any idea?
No, I don't know if it was because of the Vietnam War. I don't know. I really don't know.
Okay.
But I can do a search for you.
Yeah, please. That would be interesting to find out why. Because you go from Truman all the way up to Biden. She even met Trump. Okay, guys, don't get mad at me, you Republicans. But, you know, she met every U.S. president, possibly except for one. Tymon, what's your thoughts on the whole royal family thing? And now, after 70 years of a queen, and you always heard long live the queen,
well,
now they have a king. And with the things that he's been having some issue with prior to being king, he's going to have to address those things now, right?
One, he's just a figurehead. They don't do anything. They don't write laws. They're not even their families.
No, they
took that away from them. That's why they have the prime minister. They don't make anything. I mean, they can christen somebody.
Any decisions,
you know, true. They just, that's it. They have no say in what happens there. Also, their families,
true.
You know, go all the way back. Remember, we broke away from them, so that's our connection. I mean, we, you know, it's just like Germany is connected to Britain, because back then they were swapping ass to where, you know, you had Germans and the Brits were sleeping each other, just like the French. They all were doing it, so they were all sleeping, and that was their whole connection to the deal. Yes, they actually stopped slavery before we did. You know, they had gotten out of the slave business before we did, just like the Romans had gotten out of the slave business before they did. But we decided we would go farther. George Washington had family that was connected still to Britain, because since we broke away, a lot of people from Ben Franklin to Thomas Jefferson, they all, that's another reason why that we don't ever give up on them, because we've always had a connection. And if it wasn't for America, you know, helping out the Britons during World War One and World War Two, that's why they love IAC so much, because, shit, we made sure that they had something. You know, if the America hadn't gotten to World War Two, there wouldn't be a they wouldn't be around, because pretty much the Germans, that Hitler had taken their ass down. So, you know, J.P. Morgan did the loans for the British, you know, for them to even, you know, survive in World War One. That's how we became a superpower. That's how we created the World Bank. You know, we created all of that. We rebuilt Europe. and that's what turned us into a superpower, and that's what put us on the map.
Right.
Matter of fact, there is no such thing as the Middle East. The Middle East was created because Britain kicked the Turks' ass, and after they kicked the Turks' ass, you know, that land that where, you know, they had to find a place for where the Jews to go after World War II, and that's how you created Israel, which was in 1947. And that's why the Palestinians and the Jews don't get along, because they felt that was a raw deal that they got, because they literally drew a line in the sand. All of that land over there was Ethiopia at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not even,
mm-hmm.
there was no such
mm-hmm.
thing. That whole deal from Egypt, all that was called the Dark Continent. So
right.
everything, Britain has had a play in everything. A lot of people do not like the Queen and everything, because, yes, the one thing about the Brits, they will tell you what they did. And they will tell you, we conquered everybody, which they did. And they conquered India. They gave India, I mean, you know, they had Hong
mm-hmm.
Kong at one time. The Brits did. They had Hong Kong.
Yeah.
That's why we've had problems with China since then. Because once they gave it back, and it's been such a democratic, you know, China has tried to turn that into, you know, back to being a communist country. But,
communist,
you know,
right.
how are you going to
mm-hmm.
do that? Because you've made so much money. So, yes, they,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I really don't have a say or anything. Like I said, if you know, if you want to do the history on what they've done and everything on what Britain's done, and you do the history on the family, you know, yes,
mm-hmm.
down the line, all that stuff's been passed on. But Charles don't do nothing. Charles don't do a thing. He ain't
But right, and I'm aware that you know, really they have no say, right? You do have the parliament, and you know, I watch sometimes how they're how they have their sessions. It's comical at times where they'll boo and they'll cheer and they'll yay, and you know, and it's like, damn, this is entertaining. You all seen it before if you follow politics, and like, well,
mm-hmm.
Janet follows it more than I do. Okay? But it is
mm-hmm.
kind of funny when you hear where someone says something and all of a sudden they'll boo him and everything. Here in the States, they'll be like, clap, clap, clap. Okay, order in the chamber. Shut up. You're ordering the chamber. But they just go ahead and say what they got to say. And they respond
mm-hmm.
the way they want to respond. But going back to what you're saying, Tom, is that, right, the royal family is just that. They have no real control over the politics within the UK. It's just a family tree, for lack
and they,
of a better
but they
term,
do
right?
get paid. Now, they are worth a lot of
money.
Oh,
yeah, of course, yeah.
Because they
it's
want
well, 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 they
because
get,
of the royalness of where it came from. But when they decided that they did not want to be led by a king and queen, you know,
mm-hmm.
so they allowed them to keep, you know, the whole pageantry and the everything. They'll keep
mm-hmm.
all of that. And they get paid
right.
for all that, too. But
a
they,
lot of the colonies
far,
separated
know.
For their independence, because their kingdom used to be huge, like you said, Prime, and it was like covering, it was vast. But now it's nowhere near the way it was before, because
no.
yeah, they've a lot of the areas have gotten their independence.
But see, my question
right.
with this is time is that where when he said that, you know, because let's be honest, the Queen was really just a gracious person, a figurehead for the country. And again, just keeping the pomp and pageantry going on, right? You know, that's what the people looked at. The people in England know that the Queen really didn't have any power in a sense, but she had a influence. She could influence, am I right, certain things to happen. And we're going to get into a conversation, too, about individuals who they just recently talked to who played the role of the Queen over the decades that she's been in office, and different actresses who said, you know, oh, it was such an honor to play her and everything. But they have done movies of her of being the nice person, the other side of her that you probably didn't see and all that type of stuff. But going back to what you said is that Charles is just going to be a figurehead. But is he pressured to be that figurehead like Queen Elizabeth, the same type of, you know, attitude in a sense, the same type of, I mean, the people of England is wondering, what do we have as a king? We know what we had as a queen. Am I making sense? What does, and this is a totally different role, 70 years, there are people who knew of her when they were living and now passed away. There are people now who are in their 80s over there that now have to see, okay, now you have a king. You never had a king. Now you have a man playing the role as your quote-unquote figurehead. For
well, they had a king before Queen Elizabeth. They had a king.
No, I'm saying, if you caught what I said, but it's been 70 years you had a queen. Now you would have a king, I guess I should say, again. But that was over 70 years ago, right?
Yeah,
it's
can I read
queen.
Something, Michael? Yeah.
Sure.
I just looked. They said the monarch retains prerogative powers specifically reserved for the sovereign, including the power to appoint a new prime minister, to dissolve parliament, and to give royal assent to bills. So they do have power. And another thing, Johnson didn't meet with Queen Elizabeth because he never went overseas while he was in office.
Okay. And you know what? I have to go along with what Janet just said because I did see something and it just refreshed my memory of where they showed a clip, which was a movie, of where the Queen was speaking to former Prime Minister, I believe it was, Tony Blair.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that he was, I think, what hit her 16th Prime Minister. I think she had 16.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, what Janet just said, that is true. Simon, what do you think about that?
They said
she
that the monarch
only
retained the prerogative powers. Powers specifically reserved for the sovereign, including
mm-hmm.
the power to appoint
okay.
a new prime minister and dissolve parliament and give royal assent to bill.
Right.
Other than that, you know, that they don't they don't really do anything. That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, that's it. They issue passports. They said the royal prerogative includes the power to appoint, dismiss ministers, regulate the civil service, issue passports, declare war, make peace, direct the actions of the military, negotiate and ratify. But that's still going to come down to the prime minister, which it has for a while. But then again, they said, you know,
the queen can override the prime minister, so apparently they got a little more power than them. I don't know. Mm.
Yeah, well, I'm not disagreeing with you. They said the monarch remains constitutionality and power to exercise the royal prerogative against the advice of the prime minister or the cabinet, but in practice would likely only do so in emergencies or where existing precedent does not adequately apply to the circumstance.
Right.
You know, now if you think about it, of all the guys, I mean, of all that went down, I mean, they've had their prime minister, they've had to where, you know, that where they've declared war, anything like that, you know. So I wouldn't disagree, but the whole family's got, you know, they've had money. I mean, they got money. I mean, they're probably, I don't know how much they're worth, but they're worth a lot of money. And they, you know, and so he controls the royal family. Let's see, can't she pardon anybody?
They can't grant pardons
informally.
Can he pardon anybody? Yeah, that's.
And then they say, how
question.
Rich is the queen? The British monarchy was valued at $88 billion in 2017. The Queen's personal wealth is closer to $500 million from investments, art, jewels, real estate, according to 2021.
Wow. You know, it's crazy because I saw a program that when the anniversary of the death of Diana came about, of course, you know, when these anniversaries come, all kinds of shows come up, and I just happened to glance up and look, and this woman, she had the privilege, I guess, to see a lot of her crowns. And you look at all these crowns they have and what they're worth. I mean, it boggles the mind. And she was able, she says, I'm putting on a crown that's worth over $1 million+ in diamonds. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What about us? That's crazy.
But
you
know,
could put $1 million on the top of, I mean, if you could put $1 million on the top of your head, that's crazy.
But Mike, you got to understand that they pretty much, everything that they have, I mean, this is from where they've conquered and stole over the years, pretty much everything that they've done. I mean, so all that stuff that you see that they took, and let me tell you, if someone did the history, just like the Vatican, they have a lot of stuff that was stolen from other countries that belong to others that go way back. You know, if you if a person wanted to do the history of what, you know, has went down with them and how they took a lot of that stuff, how Germany took a lot of stuff. So all of them, you know, but one thing about it, nobody wants to dive into it because they think, oh, we're so busy praising them, but you haven't looked at what they did. You know, if you look at all our viruses and diseases and all those things, they brought that too. You know, matter of fact, it was the Moors and other and the Babylonians who showed them how to wash their ass. Mm-hmm. They also created your alphabet, created their numbers. That didn't come from over there.
By the way, if people don't know what a Moor is, can you tell them what a Moor was considered, the term Moor? Kind of like what we call each other in some songs, but... What was a Moor?
Well, the Moors were, I think, a lot of people say, well, you know, Moors were a, let's see here. He's a track that I'm producing. Someone is a Moor. Moor can mean anyone who was a Muslim or had dark skin occasionally. Europeans would distinguish between black Moors and white Moors. One of the most famous mentions of Moors is in Shakespeare's play, The Tragedy of Othello. So they were, you know, they at one time they had conquered Spain for over 700 years. They were the head of Spain. All that architecture that you see on Spain and everything, they built that. They built all of it.
No, the reason why I asked you to do that, because I heard the term used in some movies and things, and I never knew. There's one movie, and I know this probably has nothing to do with anything, but you guys, but follow me. There was a movie that Martin Lawrence played in The Black Knight, and this character that he had an issue with kept calling him Moor. He kept calling him a Moor. I was like, what the hell is a Moor? But you just, you know.
Yeah,
right.
And it was also, you were either considered a Berber or an Arab of Arab descent, and it was from Northwest Africa. And that's what Othello was. Othello was a Moor. All that, but like
Moor,
I said,
right.
The Moors were so advanced. The Moors were doing eye surgery in the 700s. They created irrigation to where the water could go up under through the bridge and everything. They created all that. That wasn't created by Europeans. That did not come from Christians.
Mm-hmm.
That came from the Moors.
Just
they were
like
very
Ethiopians,
advanced people.
They were very intelligent and created a lot of things. But you look at movies sometimes, you think that they were like savage, and people had to go in and make them, you know, humanized or whatever. But I've been studying stuff like that, and they were really, when it came to just building and just they were above everybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the word
you know, and I've said that before. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Moors initially were indigenous Maghrebin Berbers. The name was later applied to the Arab and Arabized Iberians. So that was something they got from this, that the Christian Europeans would call them.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Moors came from. But they were actually West Africans.
You know, I've always said that, you know, when you look at slavery and the inventions that slaves created, and then it was stolen, right? Because I always envision, and I always say this, Janet, you've heard me say this before, because the taskmasters would be like, just like even in today's world, where a boss can say, hey, you need to get this done. Well, how? I don't care. Just get it done. You figure it out. That shit was going on back then. So that's what made them become creative, to make the task easier, more efficient. And once they found that way, then the taskmasters were like, oh, okay. I like that idea. I'm going to claim that idea, and I'm going to create something, and I'm going to sell it off to somebody else, and then we're going to put it under our name. That's what happened. And then, you know, critical race theory is an issue, or still is, because there's another story I like to touch on about a place here in the United States that is demanding a library to remove books that they claim is critical race theory, that is claimed promoting homosexuality and everything. And this library doesn't even have not one of those books in it. Crazy story that I just saw. But let's go ahead and finish and wrap this segment of the show up so we can move on to our next topic. Cotton Campbell, let me go ahead and reopen your mic because it seems like you were in a little noise area. So you have any comment on this subject?
I do not. I was listening because I'm learning some stuff, so I appreciate it. But no, I don't have a topic right now.
All right. Well, I appreciate you listening. So, and also, I see some other folks here on the board. Let's see here. And they're listening. Birmingham is in the house. In fact, two Birminghams are here in the house. And another Atlanta is here in the house, 404-918. Thank you for listening and tuning in. Janet, as we get ready to move on and take a quick break, what's your final thoughts on this whole England thing and the Queen passing? And most and importantly, can you share what you found out about the plans of her funeral? Because I'm pretty sure this is going to be a huge event.
Well, I think her funeral, it is. She's going to be lying at state in several different places, at least three places. Right now, I couldn't tell you, Michael, because I don't have it pulled up. But they had a whole itinerary earlier today on TV saying each time that she was going to be moved and be lying in state, and they're supposed to have the actual funeral on the 19th. So this whole thing was supposed to take 10 days total before they bury her. And I just hope that Harry and Meghan can reunite with the family and come back into the fold, you know, because a lot of things that happen, I'm quite sure Charles will hopefully make changes, you know, because he was always trying to be outspoken before he became king. But now he says he's got to be more reserved because of that, you know. So I'm just hoping. He already reached out to him. I just hope that, you know, they come back and be with the family.
Okay. I see a hand wave, 205, that is Behan, Birmingham, Alabama, 478. Yeah, and I think I know who this is, but I'm not going to screw up and say the wrong name. I'm going to say, hey, hello, and welcome to the show, Birmingham. How you doing? Your mic is open. You waved your hand. Unmute your mic. Okay. They waved their hand. I think I know who this is. But anyway, okay. Your mic is still open. I'm gonna go ahead and put you back on mute until you're ready to speak.
Hey, Mr. Hello, guys. This is Gwen. I'm from Birmingham. I was just listening and let you know I was listening and enjoying it.
Well, thank you, Gwen.
Yes, Gwen.
I didn't want to call you out. But thank you so much for joining and listening to it. What are your thoughts, if you want to share, about the whole, 70-year reign of a queen? And did you follow these things? And before we, because we're getting to the top of the hour, I want to just go ahead and touch on a few things. Were you intrigued, or did you just not care? Was it like, okay, I'll check it out and everything? During the times that we would see things that were happening, like, the weddings and the jubilees and all the stuff, all the things that the royal family does, things that's happening over the pond. Did you ever tune in to these type of events? And would you tune into the funeral of the queen?
Mm-hmm.
I have previously, you know how you look into it sometimes and you just hear as much as you're going to listen to and then you take in some, but I probably would look into the funeral because it would be something, something that I want to just make, because it made history, and I would want to view that and just see that for myself, instead of somebody trying to tell me something, I would want to view that for myself and have my own thoughts about it.
I need to give you my personal number.
But yeah, I would just say have
sorry,
my own personal thoughts about. Oh, this me.
Uh-huh.
I would like to have my own personal thoughts and, see what's going on and just enjoy it myself. You know what I'm saying? And just, because there's something that you probably wouldn't see, during the day, or we wouldn't be able to go to that. So something that you can just witness and just like say, hey, at least I've seen it on TV, or I've seen it on wherever and just been able to watch it and enjoy it.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, history in the making.
Mm-hmm. It's something that, because all the stuff that you see on Facebook, I was listening to y'all when people were saying that people making these jokes about stuff, but I just think people are just taking this just a little too far. Me personally, I would think that, but I don't get on there and bash nobody because it's not me, but I'm like, oh my goodness, people are just making, they make a joke about anything, and sometimes people just don't see that sometimes you do a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Right about that. 2 years ago, I had to get off of Facebook because people would say things and I would go on a rant, giving them some food for thought. So today, after 2 years, one of my food for thoughts popped back up and I was like, wow, I really went off. So I leave Facebook alone.
Well, unfortunately, I have to stay in touch with social media on every platform. But I try to really concentrate more on this show and our guests and our co-hosts. And I appreciate you guys tuning in this Saturday. Great conversation in our first hour, because in our second hour, we're going to have even more things to talk about. Janet, as usual, always puts together a great political lineup. We're going to talk about a few political things and then some things that are like, are you like almost like a come on, man, really? Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some really stupid shit that happens. And
that's
just
right.
A quick service announcement, ladies, if you're going to go and steal from a store, don't take your kids. I'm just putting it out there. I saw something while
oh, my goodness.
Don't take your kids. Especially not your 10-month-old child. Don't do that. Because they're going to be turned over to DFAT. And I witnessed this the other day, and this woman had her 10-month-old child. The only reason why they let her go, because of the 10-month-old child. But, hey, trust me, I've seen them take
take women to jail. Don't matter if you have your kids. Don't be stupid. I'd rather see you ask if someone can help you. You need food? Okay. You come out better asking someone to buy the groceries, especially when you're inside of a freaking grocery store.
Michael,
there
are too many places right now, even in Atlanta, that you can go to and get free food. There's a
right.
lot of places that help people who are less
That's
fortunate.
That's
Give
true.
You
and
enough food
I
to
see
last
this. I just want to say before we take a break, and because I want to touch on that, but I really don't right now. I want to kind of save that. But I see this all the time, and I'm like, come on, y'all. You know, we can do better than this. When you steal something like $50 worth of food, do you know how much time, money, and freedom you are sacrificing from your child and your family and maybe lose the job that you may have? Never take your kid on your stealing spree. Don't do it. Listen to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. With my co-hosts that are with us today is the one and only Janet Davis. Cotton Campbell is with us. And also, Mr. Timon Shipp. Thanks to all of you here on the board. Hey, if you have any questions or comments, go ahead and hit the number one. For you guys that are on the internet listening, the chat room is open. It only takes a minute for you to sign up. Follow the show. Hit follow. And you can join the chat room. If you don't feel comfortable talking, that's fine. Type it. I'll read it right here live. And by the way, speaking of UK, on the UK soul charts, which is this broke on September the 5th, there's a lot of artists here that are in the top 10. And guess who's in the top 10 at number 8? Janet, he's been a guest on the show, and I'll give you a hint. Sings.
Hey, Ma?
That's a big hit. No, Sings. Sings. That's his last name. Remember you said, play some more music. And by the way, yeah, you know what? I'm not gonna keep everybody in waiting. I'm gonna go ahead and play it. Hey, at number 8. Is his single called What Can We Do, which I played last week. But here's another new song from him, and he's been a guest on the show, and I really appreciate him. And you guys, check this out. It's called Excuse Me, DJ. We'll be right back.
DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Oh, yeah.
Why you standing here alone, looking so fly? Got me wondering who you came with.
Came with.
Maybe we can be friends, or we can have a thing, or you can be my main chick.
Oh, yeah.
Hold up, wait a minute, let me slow down. Girl, you just got my mind blown. I like know you, I'm just trying to get the jump on you. So maybe we can be alone. Not a fool to think that I'm the only one who noticed you. Cause right now you got all eyes on me. Yeah. So do you mind if I take you on the floor, so I can get one dance with ya before you leave, girl? DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
DJ, yeah.
Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
Girl, we ain't gotta talk, we ain't gotta drink. All you gotta do is move that body. We gon' tear the floor up and get the club lit like it's a private party. It's unbelievable the way your body is calling for me. Yeah.
So do you mind if I
take you on the floor so I can get one dance with ya before you leave, baby, yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get burnt up with my shorty on the dance floor. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record louder? I'm just trying to get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. I'm just tryna make a move, doing what I gotta do, just to get with you, baby. I'm just tryna make a move, make it do what it do, while I put you in the mood, baby. I'm just tryna make a move, doing what I gotta do, tryna get with you, baby. I'm just tryna make a move, doing what I gotta do, put my needle in the groove, baby. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just tryna get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Can you play that record loud? I'm just tryna get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Yeah. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just tryna get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor. Mr. DJ. Excuse me, DJ, can you play that record loud? I'm just tryna get turned up with my shorty on the dance floor.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now, back to the show.
Well, thank you, St. I appreciate you. St. James, oh, man, you got to check him out, Google him, go to, you can go to YouTube, check out everything that he's doing. Household Entertainment is the name of his production company, and he has so many amazing artists under his wing. So please support Household Entertainment and my man, St. James. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Michael Gay, here on The Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network, and with my co-host, Janet Davis, also Cotton Campbell. And unfortunately, well, you know, it's where we understand that Timon spends an hour with us because, you know, Timon's a busy individual, you know, and so I truly appreciate when he comes on and spends at least an hour with us, because not only is he a great author, has a great book out, he's got something that's going on in production, a new TV series that will be coming out soon, and he's an awesome comedian. So it being
author,
what is it now,
actor,
an author, yeah, mm-hmm. I said author, actor, yeah, I said that, I said author. The time now there, I'm pretty sure he has to get himself in order and get ready for whatever event he has to attend this evening. So thanks, Time and Chip, for joining us. Gwen, are you still there in the B-ham? I think she's still here. And also Cotton Campbell is still here. All right, so great. Everybody's here. And I see still about 205-422 is on the board, 404-918 on the board. Thank you, too, for still hanging here with us. Again, if you are listening to us on the Internet, and if you're listening to us through Blog Talk Radio, you do know you can go ahead and hit follow and join the chat room. If you have any questions or comments, go ahead, join and follow, and type your questions and comments in the chat room. I will read them on the air. Please trust me. Okay. All right, so let me see, Janet. The next topic I want us to get to, there's so many. Look at this itinerary here because, you know, I have to dance around some. Oh, I do want to go into, because we have an hour left, a little less than that one. This whole thing with the DOJ appeals special master ruling and the Mar-a-Lago search, okay, so, you know, this whole stuff with Donald Trump, this saga continues on and on. Let me read a little bit. Department of Justice appeals special master review of classified documents seized by FBI. The Justice Department is appealing part of a judge's order that will give a special master authority to review documents collected at
Mar-a-Lago last month. Prosecutors say they have serious concerns about handing government secrets to a third party. In her order from Monday, which is Judge Cannon, a Trump appointee, and here's something I'm going to share in a moment. She's a Trump appointee, also ordered federal prosecutors to pause using those documents in their investigation into obstruction and mishandling of government secrets. But she allowed the intelligence community continue its review to determine potential national security risks from the classified material being kept outside of a secure government facility. Now, I'm going to reverse this. She is a Trump appointee.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? She was appointed after it was clear Donald Trump lost the presidency. You know who did that? Who was it, Jen? Tell everybody who went ahead and did it. Yep. After Donald Trump already lost, they went ahead and pushed him through. She's, what, 40-something years old?
Right.
She's like in her mid-40s,
I think. The thing is, they are
hold on. I'm going to let you speak. I'm saying this. And I'm going to let you follow up on it. But she's 40-something years old. She's relatively young. Because this position she has, she will have forever. Forever. That's a job you don't get fired from unless you do something serious. So, now, Janet, go ahead and say what you want to say.
Well, the thing is, the DOJ is giving her an off-ramp, because they cannot separate the different branches in order for them to do their work. And
they're all government branches, yeah.
Right, and our security is at risk because they need to know where some of these documents might have gone. Or did anything get leaked out? And because they can't work on it, for something that Trump doesn't have any rights to, because it belongs to the government, to the country. It don't belong to Trump. It belongs to the archives in the first place. But he's trying to claim rights, saying those are his documents, but they're not. You don't take top secret classified documents that's supposed to be only in a risk when you look at it. And you got it sprawled everywhere, in the basement, in your drawers, anybody can have access to that.
Hey, look, trust me, I think I told you.
And she's trying to get brownie points.
Well, here's what's crazy is that a former network, yes, the J. King Network, I just asked a fucking question. Yes, I did cuss, and I apologize. Because it pissed me off, okay? But I do apologize. And I know I do rate the show PG-13, but I might need to upgrade it to R. I chimed in and only said, with the investigation going on, with the FBI and all this stuff going on, and all this stuff about these documents, my only question was, investigation leads to an indictment of the former president, to where they can charge him for whatever they come up with. I didn't even get a chance to say what I was going to say. This individual said, see, Michael, this is, and I'm not going to use the words that they use towards me, stupid and dumb. And I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't even get the damn chance to finish. I was saying, if, because my question was this, if that would have happened, do you really think that they would put Donald Trump behind bars? In my opinion, I really don't think he's going to go to jail. I really don't, because look at what's going on. He will probably be not allowed. Let me finish. I really believe that they if whatever evidence that they, and if they do indict him, he will probably get a slap on the wrist, not be able to run for office, okay? Probably a fine and this, that, and the other. I really feel like that's going to do it because actually the thing is I said that because I feel like if they were
truly or if they even try to attempt to put Donald Trump in jail, all hell will break loose. That's how I feel. All hell will break loose. All these right-wing politicians,
the law is the law.
I understand the law is the law, but you know what? They're trying to change the law in their favor, and they will break the law in order to get what they want done. That was my point. They don't care about the law, Janet. They care about what they want to do, meaning break Betty at first bend, and if we can't bend it,
listen,
we will
Michael,
break the law.
The bottom line is the majority of the people do not want to lose their democracy, because once you lose it, you won't be getting it back. And then we
agree with you,
And the main one trying to help them change the law to be autocracy. What did you just say?
But you do follow what I just said.
Yeah.
I just said that my question or my attempted question to this person, I said, with the investigation going on, FBI feels like they have enough evidence, because as you can see now, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that is slowing down this process. And look at this judge, you know, and even now Donald Trump wants for this special individual to do the
he wants the DOJ to help pay for it,
right? Isn't that a normal scenario for Donald Trump? Help me pay for this. Oh yeah, I'm a millionaire, I'm a billionaire, but I need you to help me pay for this. Come on,
but you
now
know what? This is the thing, right? But this is the thing. Donald Trump said it was false about a nuclear documents was in at Mar-a-Lago. Well, they found nuclear documents on a foreign country.
Right, I know that.
And now they're trying to clean up the damage. But he said, "Oh no, no
but,
foreign documents, no nuclear documents. They lying."
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to stay on path here. Because here's the road I'm trying to go down is this. You're right. It's fact. It is true fact, America, that you're hearing a bunch of lies even after the individual leaves the White House.
Mm-hmm.
There is always a paper trail. There's always a paper trail, you know. And more so damaging, it doesn't have to be a paper trail. There's a cyber trail. What you put out there in the cloud and what you put on your phone or whatever, it's there. Your phone is a computer. There's probably stuff we don't even know. They probably feed a bunch of stuff from other individuals involved on that fateful day when Trump left the White House and all the stuff that left there, the conversations, everything. You got to keep that in mind.
Look at Roger Stone.
You got to keep that in mind. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to let you speak on that. Look at Roger Stone. The whole host. And then now let's look at Bannon. Steve Bannon. Guess where he was
Stone
this
is
week.
Worse. That's why I wanted
Hold on. I don't want to jump to Stone. I want to go with what I just said. Where was Bannon? Janet?
We're in handcuffs.
Tell the listeners. Okay. As they say on,
he had to
on,
turn himself in.
But Janet, as they say on game shows, tell him what he's won, Bob. A night's stay in the local jail. That's where Bannon was, okay? Because we've been dealing with this for a while with Bannon and this and that and the other. And Bannon's been trying. Now, you're right, Roger Stone.
With the build the wall.
We keep ha-ha about all this. This has been going on for years. But here's the thing that we have to really think about. We got to remember what the man, Donald Trump, told us, all of us. What did he say? I will bring the best to my cabinet. That's what he said. He said he'll bring the best to his cabinet. Let's look at the history of what happened to many people that were in his cabinet, that were, you know, in the White House at the time. Many of them have been indicted or jumped ship.
And what's
name any happening other president that has that type of issue and continuing.
That's
how
right.
ignorant can people be? And I don't care if people say, oh, you just hate Donald Trump. You know what? I really had a lot of respect for Donald Trump as a businessman when he had the show The Apprentice. I really did. I thought that was really entertaining. It was a lot of fun. But then when I started doing the research about the history of his dad and the thing that happened in Atlantic City and where contractors and workers didn't get paid and he filed bankruptcy, and then the city had to rescue themselves, I started losing respect for this guy.
Yeah,
I know you were there. You lived in
yeah.
New York.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but my point is this, and I want to move on. But I'm just trying to say, you can't. You what is the term? You can't keep beating a dying horse. And when I say that, not to kill it, Republicans, you can't keep beating it for it to get up and run again. You're beating a dying horse, which is Donald Trump, and expect him to get up and run again. You follow my point? You're beating an old story. He's out on the campaign trail. You know what? He's not campaigning for the individuals. He's telling the same old stories on his defense and what's going on now. He's not campaigning for the individuals who are running for office. Watch the videos. Look at it. For Republican Party, I got to say, you guys got to, you know, in all due respect, we're all human, but come on. This guy, you need to just step away from and do your own. Don't go and follow someone who is in possibly in the midst of being indicted for a crime.
He
may not go to
even
jail.
Even though Trump pardoned Bannon, but it was federal. He couldn't pardon him for state. And that's
state.
The main reason
right.
why he's in handcuffs
state.
Right now.
Right.
Right.
And that's
but
and
Stone,
that's where the and that's where the but that's where the American people are not understanding the difference. And really state sometimes can carry longer terms than federal. Believe it or
yeah,
not.
They said the federal and the state can be consecutive or it can be concurrent. You know, it's up to
federal.
Whatever the decision of the judge is when it's all said and done. But his goose is cooked for stealing all that money, skimming off the top for trying to build the wall.
And who always told you we're going to build a wall? It wasn't Bannon. It was the former president. There's a coalition here. There's a connection here. And you can't deny the truth. You just can't. You can't do what Kellyanne Conway said, alternative facts. There's no freaking thing as an alternative fact. A fact is a fact. The truth is the truth. A lie
she was
is a
only,
lie.
She was only – don't shoot the messenger. She was only doing what Trump told her.
Okay,
because
fine,
he didn't want
you know what
to lie about.
Well,
it was
sorry.
All these people
I'm sorry,
during
Janet.
The inauguration.
I'm sorry, Janet. Right, you don't shoot the messenger, but the truth of the matter, yes, they do. And so, go ahead and shoot them. Shoot them. Hell. Go ahead and shoot them.
But
I'm sorry,
you know
I'm not promoting violence.
I know you don't want to talk about Stone, but I just want to say one thing. When they were at the Willard Hotel, yeah. January 6th. When their little war room, and he had this media crew running around doing a documentary with him, he didn't even realize he was still with a mic on, go in the closet and make a deal with somebody getting $100,000 to pardon this person. And
mm-hmm.
and both conversations
yeah.
was recorded. That's how
right.
crazy stupid they are.
But here's the reality that people who are supporters don't want to hear that. They don't want to see that. they don't want to believe. It's just like the person who knows their kid sells drugs,
mm-hmm.
but don't
right.
want to believe they're going to jail because they got caught. My son, not my son. He was influenced.
Don't believe what you see. Believe what I
take. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So the thing is that that bullshit has to stop. I mean, you know, I'm going to change subjects in a minute because I get frustrated with this political bullshit
too,
that goes on because it's,
mm-hmm.
it's dragging on too long. You know, like you said, when you say that I'm a president of law enforcement and everything, but you pardon individuals who were sworn to protect and serve that were found guilty of a crime. Guilty. Look at the guy in Arizona. What's his name? Sheriff Apile. He was found guilty in a court of law. Was going to jail. Mm-hmm. What did Donald Trump do? Pardon his ass.
Pardon. But a lot of pardons, he might have pardoned a lot of people, but some of that stuff didn't work. You know, just like a judge in New Mexico.
I understand that, but all I'm saying is this. Come on now. For the people that believe in law and order, so you believe that a person who the evidence showed who committed a crime, under the law, it's a crime. It's a crime, C-R-I-M-E, crime. I hope you know how to spell it. According to the law, and found guilty of a crime by his peers, meaning you and I, the American public, the jury, the court, we found him guilty. And then the president of the United States steps in and says, I'm going to pardon him for all that.
Well, Trump said if he becomes
really?
President again, he's going to pardon all these people that had January 6th, even if they only had one day, being charged for one day. He pardoning all of them. That's his little thing. He's going to get out to be able to be president again.
Well, that's what you look at as being a cult. In America, I'm sorry to say, if that were to happen, then we have a cult that is actually diminishing democracy, actually destroying
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
It's destroying democracy. And it will continue to be an infection on democracy. We have some sorry, sad, soft people, unfortunately, in politics. But that's what's going to happen. If Donald Trump or anyone that believes in, like I said, bending and breaking the law is okay. Anyone who feels it's okay, and many of them are doing it. You know, the past few weeks we talked about a few things regarding, you know, the loans that were given, the difference between the college loans and the PPP loans and everything. And I said, a loan is a loan. Right?
Well, you had lot of Republican people in office complaining about Biden giving $10,000 or $20,000, depends on the PAL grant, and you got all these people who have gotten hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars on a PPP.
Right, right.
But it's okay for them.
Right.
And they don't have to pay that
right.
back.
Right. Okay, so the thing is that I'm not going to go into that conversation again, but you're right. I mentioned that, and I was talking to somebody, and they tried to convince me that, yeah, but you know, I had a loan and I paid all mine back. I'm like, okay, good for you. I'm glad that you did. But we're not talking about you. We're talking about people who can't, people who are trying. But look at the difference of them compared to the people who have the money to pay back the United States. You follow
and
me?
Don't.
Uh-huh.
And don't. Have the money to pay back, and they don't. They don't have to because get a loan.
No. That's what I'm saying. Look at the people who do have the money to pay it back, and they don't. Right. That's what I was saying. That kid in college who's working at maybe a little food place or whatever, what the president is offering is a drop in the bucket compared to the hundreds of thousands, the millions that businesses who make big money and politicians who own businesses that got that loan, right, don't even offer to pay it back. And they can. They really can. You know, I'm not an expert at anything. But I have common sense of where, come on, if you ran for office to try to do better for America, some of y'all are doing a poor-ass job. Because all you do is
because it's all about themselves. They're not caring about,
it's about
America.
It's about, right. It's about greed. It's about money. Now, I want to move on to one more thing because we're at the bottom of the hour, almost getting to the top of the hour. I could go longer, but I think we're going to do a two-hour show for the first time in a while. Normally, we are 2 hours, but we have done 3 hours. But we're going to do a two-hour show. We have 30 minutes. We should be able to finish this one out. excuse me. Let me take a look at this itinerary because there was something that I wanted to make sure we talked about. Oh, I did mention the fact that here's a celebrity, a sports celebrity. I brought him up, about a week ago. Herschel Walker.
I sent you that at the bottom.
Herschel Walker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Amazing athlete. To college, to the pros. Amazing guy. Sports-wise. I don't know him personally. After his sport days, I never followed him. Never knew what his intentions were. Okay. I knew he went to the University of Georgia. I knew that. I knew he played for different NFL teams. But when I saw he was running for Senate in Georgia, I was like, whoa, put on the brakes. Are we talking about the same Herschel Walker? Because I did hear about his history of violence towards women. I live here in Georgia. They're not going to miss a story. Y'all in California, Arizona, whatever, you probably won't hear that. But here in Georgia, oh, yes. They make it a point to tell you about any black athlete, or any athlete, I won't just say black, but especially black athletes that have committed a crime. Okay? Herschel Walker is running for Senate, and this guy has told so many lies in his advertisements, and it's so easy to find out it's not true. He said that he graduated from the top of his class and this and the other. Okay, I shared that the last time I spoke on him, but here's the thing that got me was the fact that his ex-wife is doing an ad for the Democrat side of the party, not for her ex-husband, about his alleged violent spree, putting a gun to her head. And instead of him being able to deny the allegation, what did he do, Janet? He said, oh, well, I was going through some mental health issues. Is he not saying that or not?
No,
he's basically he's saying he's basically blaming,
showed him on TV saying he put a gun to her head right after she said he put a gun to my head. He said the same thing.
He admitted it. He admitted it. And then he comes around and says he wants to say something negative against his opponent for sharing this fact. It's just a fact. See, they want to show you all this stuff, you know, and now he wants to say that's how come he needs to be the senator so he can, you know, speak and help folks with mental health issues. Bruh, come on now. That ain't why you running. Come on, bruh. I want to share my issues and get money to help with mental health folks and everything. Bruh. Stop being a puppet. I mean, and then you have the nerve to tell the public in your little ad that you and your ex-wife are good friends now. No, she's just saying hello to you. Hopefully you won't pull out another damn gun and point it to her head and have one of those mental health issues when you see her. Mm-hmm. Anytime you pull a gun to somebody's head, that's going to be something that's going to affect them for the rest of their damn lives. You know why? Because I had a person rob me at gunpoint. I'll never forget that. Over $50. Bruh, come on. You running for office?
He got his training from Trump. You know, because he said he was part of the FBI. Then he said, I wish I shouldn't have been able to tell you that. I shouldn't have said that. Then he says that he had 800 people in his company, but it was only eight. You know, every other thing that comes out of his, you know, he said he was part of the Cobb County Police Department.
Wait a minute. The Cobb County Police Department. I live in Cobb County. I know a lot of officers here. And I'm telling you, I'm not going to put their names out there. I know many of them. One of my, I love her. She's so sweet. But just in conversation with them, I just joked with them and said, so what do you think about what Herschel said about he worked with you all? And they just laughed. They said, Mike, you know, I can't go into that. I said, but I've never heard of him being in the department. They tell me flat out. I've never heard any stories about it or that he actually worked with the Cobb County Police Department. The department even said they have no record of it. Why would you just intentionally make a lie like that? Unless you're trying to convince people. Because, you know, for you folks that are listening, Cobb County, Georgia is, Cobb County is a huge county. Really is. Very powerful and influential, inferential county. Did I say that right? In Georgia.
Influential.
Huge county.
Influential.
You got it. Influential county in Georgia. There's a lot of big money in Cobb County.
You know Cobb County
used to be
Cherokee County? They split?
Yeah.
Because it was Cherokee was too big, so that's why it split?
They split, right. Cobb County, and for the folks that I remember I used to have arguments with that used to tell me that Six Flags, the amusement park here in Georgia, is in Fulton County. No, it's not.
No, Cobb County.
It's in Cobb County. So that tells you a lot about the revenue that Cobb County gets. People come from all over the state and even neighboring states to come to Six Flags over Georgia. All right? Cobb County has a lot of money. So with that being said, but for Herschel Walker to make so many, I mean, untrue statements about his career, I'm sorry, about his education and things that has happened in his personal life, why would you want to vote? People say, well, that's his past. Sometimes your past can catch up with your future and your present. Definitely a lie. It's definitely documented lies. I cannot vote for a person that has constantly lied. But apparently some people don't have a problem with that. Am I right, Janet?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's the way America is. But the last thing I want to share with you guys before we go is another story that boggles my mind. Because, you know, we hear about, you know, driving while black, shopping while black, anything while black. But this one takes the cake. Watering plants while black. A black pastor sues the police who arrested him while watering his neighbor's flowers.
What?
Mm-hmm. He wasn't stealing the flowers, okay? He wasn't clipping them. He wasn't digging them up and putting them in his yard. Because, see, I remember, since we were mentioning Cobb County, I remember when they redid the whole square. You remember, Janet? I don't know how. No, I don't think you were here when it was like.
Yeah.
I mean, the center channel. Okay, the Marietta Square. It was this dirt, dust, and everything, and they had said they were going to redo it. In fact, what's the actor's name? His wife went to school here in Cobb County. What's his name? He had the salad dressing. But he's a well-known actor.
Paul Newman?
Made a Paul Newman. Paul Newman, yep. Paul Newman. There's a stone, okay, in the middle of the park with his name and his wife's name on it. Thank you. Paul Newman. And when they redid that whole park and all the flowers and that whole square, they had a sign that said, "Pick up ye flower, landeth in jail." Think about that. Pick up ye flower, land up in jail. If you picked one of those flowers, you as a taxpayer paid for it. Well, you don't own it anymore. It belongs to the city. If you pick that flower, you will go to jail because that's city property.
But if everybody right? picked a flower, it wouldn't be any flowers.
Wouldn't be any, and everybody, if they got caught, would go to jail, right? But right, but I found that interesting, and it was funny because they had it written in that old world type, you know what I'm saying, that type of lettering, you know. They had the little, it was like a little wooden plaque. It wasn't no metal thing. It they really made it look really cute, as they say. Pick up ye flower, land up in jail. I was like, oh, man, that's crazy. I didn't pick a flower. But here's the point I'm trying to get to is this story. A black pastor sues the police who arrest him while watering his neighbor's flowers, not the county. So here's a little bit of story. Michael Jennings, the black pastor arrested while watering his neighbor's flowers, has filed a federal lawsuit against the police officers involved in his detainment. The lawsuit also names the city of Childersburg, which oversees
mm-hmm.
the police
Alabama.
Department that arrested Jennings as a defendant. Jennings, a long-time pastor at Vision of Abundant Life Church in Sylacauga, Alabama. I know where that is. I've been there, and trust me, it's a little town. I used mm-hmm. to live in Birmingham, so I knew somebody that lived down there, traveled down there to visit. But yeah, it's a little town. Abundant Life Church in Sylacauga, Alabama is represented by National Civil Rights Attorney Harry Daniels and attorneys Bethany Embry Jones, Joy Travis, and Roger Van Daniels. Damn, he has a crew. They hosted a news conference Saturday with the Alabama NAACP to discuss the case. Oh, and now he has the NAACP backing him. Quote, I'm here for accountability, and I'm here for justice, Jennings said. Excuse me. The lawsuit says, and let me clear this out. The lawsuit says Jennings is suffering with emotional distress and significant PTSD-type symptoms, quote, that include nightmares and flashbacks. He is asking for a jury to hear the case and to determine compensatory and punitive damages, as well as money to cover the cost of the lawsuit, including attorney's fees. Alabama NAACP President Bernard Simulton said in a statement to NPR that there are concerns about the officer's training. So for what you guys don't know, what happened was this gentleman lives across the street from another gentleman who was out of town. The gentleman who was out of town asked, and by the way, the gentleman who went out of town was a white gentleman, and asked the black pastor, would he keep an eye on his house and
water his,
you know, water his plants, his flowers. He agreed to it. But another neighbor, a Karen, see, Karen still exists, felt the need to say that this is a suspicious, I don't know who this man is and everything. I mean, don't you live across the street from this black man? You don't know who this black man is?
Mm-hmm.
And, Gwen, I see you still on the board. I'm pretty sure that you know this story. I'd like to hear if you've heard of this. Since you live in Alabama, I know Sylacauga is south of you, but had you heard about the story? Do they share this in Birmingham, what happens in Sylacauga? But if you have any information to change, share with us, be really interested.
I mean,
because, come on.
I've seen it and read it and, you know, like seen it, like articles like on the Newsweek and, you know, like Facebook articles and AOL.com, but I really just couldn't get it. I mean, I guess I don't understand it, you know, what was your purpose of doing it, you know what I'm saying? And how could you arrest somebody for something that, I mean, without even just you take it among yourself and do that and not even try to figure out what's going on, you just trying to arrest them? I mean, I guess I didn't get it. I still don't get it. I mean, you know, people, I mean, I could see if he was doing something, getting something, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was stealing something. He was going in the house, or he was trying to get in her house or get in the people's house. Me personally, I don't understand why they didn't answer the question. They just took him and thought he was doing something because they went on somebody else's word instead of trying to get his side of the story before they got somebody else. Or somebody else is being, that's the thing, or somebody else is being nosy, or, you know, and
right,
taking it until it got out of hand for something that you shouldn't even been, you should have went out there. And my thing about it, if I felt like if I have a night, and I feel like that, I would go out there and ask myself, like, hey, I mean, before I call the police and give them, like, oh, it's somebody over here trying to do something. Yeah, that's their instinct to try to get there. But then first they need to probably see and find out what's going on before they take actions and, you know,
I have to say this. Okay, but I have to say this. Okay. Here's the thing. As a police officer, and I'm not going to give this story up because I see that this man is going to sue, and I want to hear other officers. I want to see other officers and folks, Officer Harper, Officer Crenshaw, because I like to, you know, throw this ball in their court because they do protect and serve us. We all respect and love their opinions and what they share with us. But think about it. Here's a Karen, because think about it. The person who called lives in the neighborhood, lives right there. How do you not recognize the black man who lives across the street? How do you not recognize
him? And it
wasn't
a public place. It was not a public place.
It's right. Okay, and he's not breaking and entering anything. He's watering plants. When the cops get there, now granted, there's some people who do some stupid stuff that would just, you know, I mean, I know there's been some folks who probably go and change a broken tire, and they're like, I don't know who he is. You know, I'm just saying hypothetically, but come on. he's watering the plants. The way the video shows you is that where they're asking him, who are you, this and the other, he tells them who he is. He tells them exactly he's a pastor, his name and everything. But they want to see his ID. He's not obligated to show his ID because he has not broken any law whatsoever. He hasn't broken a law. What law are you breaking watering plants? He told them
right.
Everything they asked. He just didn't give up his ID. And I've been stopped by cops before. They assume I was involved in a situation at a store. I knew the store owner. I saw the situation. I walked out the store, and I lived three blocks away, was walking home. The cops pulled up, demanded I give them my social security number. I said, no, you have my ID. I don't have to give you my social. That's not a form of identification. It's not. A state ID is the only thing they need. They do not need your social security number whatsoever.
But
I said, well, you could take me to jail.
But when they say they can stop a person in a public place, he wasn't in a public place. They didn't know whether that was his house or somebody else's house.
He was on private property. So the thing is, the question is, right, and people say, well, even though it's private property, if you're not the owner of the property, does that still pertain to the person there? Yes, it does. It pertains to the person there because it is – unless, let's say, for instance, if he was in a car and he broke the law on the road and pulled into that driveway, then they can go ahead and follow it because what they're doing, they are following an investigation. But to come up on private property and just start willy-nilly asking for ID and there's no crime have been reported other than watering plants, they can't force you to give your ID. They can't. There was no sign of any breaking or entry or no damage. It was based on someone who said someone looked suspicious. And here's someone who lives across the street.
Yeah, and just because they said, what are you doing? He said, I'm watering flowers. Is that car yours?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's my neighbor's car. You know, but,
right.
But he tells them he's a pastor, and it just went right out the window. They didn't even care, you know. They automatically assumed because he was black, he was guilty.
He answered every question that they asked.
Except for giving
up
ID.
The only thing he did, right. Watering flowers, y'all. I think that's about the saddest. Well, I won't say the saddest, but that's ridiculous. And then I don't
especially
know if you guys, and
you
I really want to take a,
in the neighborhood.
I want to say this. But follow this story, and Janet, you know I said I like to follow stories, which we do. But follow the story because what's going to be funny, the outcome is going to come quick. Any courthouse, any judge, when they're being embarrassed on the level this is. They want to get this over with quick, and they're going to. And they'll probably do an out-of-court settlement because it's viral. It's everywhere. And the thing is that where, as you were about to say, the man lived across the street. The man whose house or the man who owns the house already went on the Internet and shared that, yeah, I know him. I trust him. I asked him. Look at that part of it. So what, and then here's the killer part, the police still want to charge the man for obstruction of justice. He didn't obstruct nothing. You violated his rights. But now you still want to charge him because he was standing up for his own rights. Oh, we were trying to find out, we were investigating something. What were you investigating? A man watering flowers based on a Karen who said he looked suspicious? That's a sad situation that we're looking at, y'all. It's really sad.
How many criminals do you know are going? How many criminals are coming to the neighbor and say, you know what? I'm going to water their grass. I have nothing else to do with my dad.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how many criminals are going to say, "Oh, I'm the pastor at such and such church," and have that whole thing rehearsed and down packed? How many of them are going to, and be at this age? Really? And you kind of wonder, what kind of police do we have that don't use common freaking sense? "We need your ID." He told them, I live over here. This is my neighbor. There was a simpler way to handle it. And I do believe he asked when they said, someone called in. And the officer's response was, "Well, somebody said," and he asked, "Who? Who's somebody?" "Well, they called in." "Who's they?" Someone had to give their name to dispatch. "This is Miss So-and-so." Or did they not?
Hmm.
See, if the officer knew who called in, you know, be honest. "I'm protecting my neighborhood." "Yeah, I'm so-and-so. I'm Miss or Mr. Johnson. I see this over here." Walk on the person. "Well, the neighbor here, the Johnsons, saw you there." A lot of folks will say, "Well, that's snitching and giving the perpetrator your name." Well, if you bold enough to call on somebody, be bold enough for your ass to say who you are. Snitch, Karen, whatever you want to call them. Be bold enough to stand up for your neighborhood then.
Mm.
You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Don't say, I don't want to get involved. You already involved your ass, stupid. And how the hell are you going to live in the same neighborhood from the guy who lives across the street in the same neighborhood as the man that he's watering the plants for? And you've never seen him before? Come on.
And what makes it so bad? The police, instead of just pulling up in front, they go to the back, get out, and walk around to the front. Like, you know, I mean, they're going to just stop right there in the driveway. Why did they have to go to the back? Like they're trying to catch
you
them doing something.
And that's what's so comical about the whole video. The body cam shows you, and that's the thing that cops, you know, it shows you. These are Keystone cops. Yeah, I go back that far. These are Keystone cops with body cams where they're showing their unprofessionalism, I should say. You got a call about a suspicious person outside the house, and you roll up and you see this person watering plants. Now, you might assume that maybe they were about to do something, so they played it off and did something else. But in conversation, the man told you who he was. He told you what he was doing. He was very compliant. He was not nervous looking. He continued to keep watering the plants. Watch the video. He didn't stop watering them. He kept doing what he came over there to do and gave you the information that you asked him. But by law, he did not have to give you nothing. He didn't, physically. He didn't have to give you any ID. He verbally told you who he was, and they could have taken that information and ran it and saw who he was, right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
All they had to do. That's all they had to do. "We need to see your ID." "No, I told you who I am. Where I live, my address and everything." He told them all they needed to know. And they just weren't, I guess, weren't experienced enough how to just use that information to satisfy what their suspicions were. Right?
Mm-hmm. So the police didn't have really adequate training in order for them to do the things that they did. You cannot just judge a person by the color of their skin. You know, you automatically assume because he's black that he's guilty. If he was guilty,
well, Janet,
he would have been just sitting there watering flowers.
Well, Well, you know what? That's where I agree and disagree with you, because not everybody who's guilty is going to run. They're going to try to, you know, chill out and this and that. But this gentleman was continuing to do what he was doing, which he told his friend he would do. He didn't feel like he was doing anything wrong, and he was standing up for his rights, the bottom line. You have the right to support a neighbor. You have a right to be neighborly. The police don't have the right to question you being neighborly. They don't have the right to do that. And the person who called didn't see anything whatsoever criminal. Watering plants, if he was prying a window open, I would have said, yeah. I would have been crushed. I mean, because there, you know what? The people who rob from you the most are the people who've been in your home or know you or know your program, believe it or not. People who really steal, they don't, I mean, you see a lot of home invasions, but a lot of robberies are from people that you know and people who have been in your home before. They know the layout. They know your program. They know when you come and go. Sad to say, that's the truth. But for someone to be standing outside watering plants, not disturbing anything or destroying anything or trying to break and enter, and now you're in handcuffs.
Within 5 minutes of them showing up.
Right. That is stupid. Right. That's poor training. That's poor police training. And that's where the Karen, which I think that some of these cases, that the Karens need to be charged for false.
Yeah, they said he didn't identify himself, but he did identify himself.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. And they lied on the police report, right. They lied. Right. You got to, you know, it's got to come to a point where someone has to be held accountable.
Yeah.
Is it the police?
For them to charge him with obstructing government operations. What kind of government operations? Because he didn't kiss your tail?
Mm-hmm. I think that some things need to be changed.
It feels like there's another story that's missing. And it'll come out later.
Such as?
Yeah.
Such as what?
Such as I feel like that they've had an encounter before. I don't think that it don't feel like it's their first encounter, because for you to come after him for that, something so trivial, something so minor, doesn't make sense.
Because somebody called and said
it's going to be filmed. You know it's going to be filmed. You know the videotape is going to come out. You know that they're going to check your body cam. You know all of this.
Yeah, they said it was a 20-minute video of this whole thing. Showing him watering the plants. They came up, approached him. They asked him, what was he doing? He said, I'm taking care of my neighbor's flowers. I'm watering the plants.
Right. And I was listening to what Cotton just said, is that there's something more to this. I don't think there's that much more to it other than he told them the truth and he stood his ground. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's tell them the truth. He didn't lie to them. All right, now he has the right to sue them. And let's keep in mind people who, these Karens and everything, that feel like everything is so suspicious, something as simple as that these lawsuits, and if he wins, which I believe he should, that's your tax dollars going to some shit you had no reason to call the police about. Again, if there was a break, if you were witnessing someone breaking a window, crawling into a house, busting a car or window underneath the car, sawing off the catalytic converter or whatever, yeah, that's criminal. That's not normal. But for someone to water flowers, he could have been a gardener for all you know. People got gardeners. They pay folks to come to their house once a week, once a month, once every 2 weeks. So you're going to say that the gardening guy, even though he don't have a truck with a name on the side of it or whatever,
but
is
the
suspicious?
Vehicle that they said was a suspicious vehicle was really his neighbor's car.
It was his right. He told them. He said, that's not mine. That's my neighbor's. He knew it who it belonged to and proved that that was a fact after the fact, after they arrested him. But this is the shit that goes on every day, y'all. This is what happens every day in America. And people are now looking at it where, you know what, I'm sick of this. I'm going to sue. Believe it or not, some are winning these lawsuits, not all of them. They're getting out-of-court settlements.
Well, I know he's going to probably win this one.
That's your tax dollars that these Karens and these Kens are making up and taking away from where the money could really go. That's what's happening.
But wait, the person who said it was, wait a minute, Michael, did you read the part where it says an unidentified neighbor came out who called the authorities about Jennings being a suspicious person, said she knew him, she recognized him, but she called
right.
the police.
Right. So hold on. Right, exactly.
And she said,
she's
he
like,
lived
oh, yeah,
right
I know
there.
Who he is. So why the hell did you call in the first place? Do we all look alike? Did she misunderstand
that
that's her neighbor?
And she said, this is probably my fault because she called the police.
Ain't no problem. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. So I go back to what I said. Shouldn't they – it's just like, you know, in some communities, if your house has a false alarm too many times, it will be fine, right? Your security system, right? If it has too many false alarms, you can get fined because the cops come running and nothing wrong. Shouldn't that kind of apply to people who make these false calls or I won't say false, but I guess, you know, but you know what I'm saying. Shouldn't they have to go to court? Like, look, you know, hold on, this is your neighbor? You called the police on your neighbor? And we came out there.
She recognized him after the fact. When she said she identified him and said who he was and where he lived, they still arrested him.
Arrested him, right. Mm-hmm. When they could have easily uncuffed that man and said, sorry, sir, made an apology. No, they just want to take somebody in. And they did. And they're going to lose in this case, I truly believe. They're going to lose. But see, as I said, that's the sadness of our communities, of America, of even when the truth is shared. Before it has to get to this point, there are individuals who will take it to the limit and think that they're right, like these officers. Think that they're doing the right thing when they could have easily changed it. I've seen videos, I've seen situations where officers were wrong and then they were very apologetic to the black individual or the person of color because they knew they were in trouble. I've seen some where they went ahead and filed charges and someone said, nah, you know what? I just appreciate the fact that I taught them something. And hopefully that'll go a long way, that they'll never do that again, right? And I understand being a police officer is very stressful and strenuous and everything, but if you choose that occupation, you got to be prepared for it, but you have to have a state of mind to differentiate between pros and cons, reality, truth, honesty, respect, everything that you promise as far as being a peace officer. you got to be ready to do all that and accept what is expected of you. But as you see, that's not the case in this case. But again, I say, this is just one of probably hundreds of cases that happens every day in these United States of America. And thousands upon thousands of lawsuits for thousands to millions of dollars of your taxpayers' money. And then when you equate that with the whole thing of their hatred towards government, local government, federal government and everything, it all connects. There's money being spent not just by your politicians. There's money being spent by your your local police for their incompetency of upholding the law and being subject of lawsuits. And there goes the money. You understand? It just boggles the mind. Your stupidity will make someone rich. As law enforcement. All right, so the time is now 8:09, and we are almost 10 minutes over showtime, and I just extended just a little bit, but I think we covered everything that we want to cover this Saturday, and I truly appreciate all the co-hosts, all the callers, Gwen from Birmingham, another caller from Birmingham, which was Myrtle Ross. Thank you for chiming in. Of course, Janet Davis, Time and Ship, and also, of course, the one and only Cotton Campbell. Cotton, you're coming up soon, third Thursday of the month. What you got planned for us on the new show to the TMGN called Let's Talk About It? What should we look forward to?
Oh, hey. So, yeah, we're actually going to be talking about how to keep yourself safe. So I want y'all to think about that in all the different ways you can keep yourself safe, from body safe to criminal safe. And that's Central Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Next Thursday, every third Thursday of the month, you will get the ladies of TMGN with myself, Cotton Campbell, Lady J, Lucy, and Patricia B.
So that's 7 o'clock our time, Michael, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we definitely look forward to it. Because I've been fortunate to be able to make a couple of shows when I can, well, because I'd be at work. But I have to bend some arms and be like, hey, look, you take your lunch and I'm going to take my lunch later because I'm going to get on this damn show. You understand me?
Okay, Mike.
So I'm just joking. But, yeah, we look forward to it, definitely. And so, you know, you said that you're off every third Thursday. Also, do me a favor and share. You know, in fact, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull up something here. And, you know, and Janet, I haven't asked you because I'm trying to, like, waste a little time here. And I'm looking for something, and I can't seem to find it. And I know it's very simple, but please, share everybody how they can find you on social media, and I know what it is, but just go ahead and share.
Me? Janet Pollock Hawkins,
yeah,
Davis on Facebook, and I don't really want too many people follow me on Twitter or Instagram because I don't want to get flooded with a whole lot, so just Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis. So you can email me at janet.davis49@gmail.com.
All right, there you go. All right. I want to go ahead and go back over to Gwen in Birmingham. Gwen, thank you for joining us this evening. I truly appreciate you chiming in and hanging out with us for a while. What's happening,
I enjoyed it. Huh?
Okay. Tell us a little bit of what's
really
happening in Birmingham, ma'am. All right. So what's happening in Birmingham? We're definitely looking at – I'm sorry. I'm speaking and you're speaking, so go ahead.
Oh, no. I said nothing much other than this crime rate. I'm just praying that they will get this crime down. But other than that, we try and just stay safe. And nothing much going on since the World Games. Nothing really going on much going on. So not much in the ham.
All right. Well, I got to come back over there and visit sometime soon. You guys are only a couple of hours away, so I will be making plans for that. And by the way, we're in conversation, and Janet, as you well know, an individual who we were trying to get on last month said that he will join us this month. Well, maybe not this month, but no later than next month. But he said this month, right, Janet? And that will be the one and only Mr. Carl Thomas. So we're in conversation. We're getting Carl Thomas on. A few other guests that we've had on in the past. We're in conversations to get them on the show soon. So you guys get ready for more interesting, exciting artists that have been on the show, coming to the show for the first time here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Speaking of that, let's take a look.
Hey, this is St. James, and you're tuned in to TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of the Michael Gay Show, and Let's Talk About It, with your host, Cotton Campbell. So keep it locked here for more great conversation on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. Let's get it, baby.
That's right. Let's get it, baby. Every Saturday and the third Thursday of each month, it's the Michael Gay Show, and Let's Talk About It with your host, Cotton Campbell, and the ladies of TMGS. Hey, ladies, I thank you so much, and gentlemen, I thank you so much for joining us this Saturday, and look forward to more conversation, more interesting guests in the coming weeks and months here on TMGN. I'm your host, Michael Gay, and, you know, normally I leave out with, our theme song. But I think I want to leave out with something different. Is that all right with you? Yeah. So let's leave out with St. James. That would be great. Don't you agree?
Who was the artist earlier that you played, Michael?
That was Ishmael Singh. I played him last Saturday. You weren't on the show, but Ishmael, which I said during the show today, is that Ishmael's song are really racing up the UK charts. So you guys make sure you look up Ishmael, okay, Sings. That's I-S-H-M-A-L-E, Sings, S-I-N-G-S. Right. I think I got that right. Ishmael Sings. Look him up. Support him. He's been a guest on the show, and, of course, we're going to have him back as he continues to run up the charts. And we've been in conversation in the recent days and weeks, so very impressed with his work. Wow, he's moving and grooving. He's shaking it up. Hold on, let me get Cotton back in here. I'm sorry. I got to open up your mic. I apologize. Yeah, but check him out. Awesome individual. Any final comments before we go? No?
Great show.
Surprising.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's an awesome show all the time. I just don't chime in all the time, but I am listening on Saturdays, and it's just a blessing. And I get so much joy from the very first time listening, and I just chime in. I be in, I just don't say anything. So, but I did today, and I'm just I'm glad I did. It was very interesting at all times, all Saturdays.
Well, we were glad that you chimed in, and hope to see you again. Chime in again in the future.
I will.
Yes,
most definitely. You're always welcome. If you have opinions, if you have a topic or something, anything, you're more than welcome to share it here because that's what we do. We are that variety show. So we have a variety of topics, guests, and just anything you want to talk about. One rule I have is that where you could say what you want to say and everything, but we always have most respect for each other here on the show. We do not attack each other on the show. We can debate, and we can, you know, agree to disagree. But we always have love and respect for each other, and that's what is always going to be the format of this show. So thanks again to each and every one of you. Get ready for some more great guests, more great topics, more great conversation here on the TMGN, the Michael Gay Network, home of the TMGS, the Michael Gay Show. And let's talk about it with your host, Cotton Campbell. And coming up soon, there are more shows. Believe it or not, there are more shows coming. Yes, they are. We're out of here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. God bless. Here's St. James of Who Do You Love? I love you all. Good night.
Good night.
Please let me make a true confession. I had never been in love before. But since you came in my direction, I've had a change, a change of heart. Them girls, they come a dime a dozen. I fed them things they love to hear. I was never wanting for a lover, but I never knew what true love was indeed. So who, baby? Girl, I'm in love with you. Sure as the sky is blue, just let me prove to you that my love is true. Who do you love?
Are you for sure?
Are you for sure? Very first time I'm for real. Girl, you got me listening to my heart now. You gotta believe how I feel. I'm ready to become the giver. Now that I realize that it's a give and take. Oh, love has broken my defenses.
since we have a few more minutes, let me play a little more music. Again, thank you guys for joining us here on the TMGS. So, what can I play? I think I found it. Maybe I didn't. How about this?
This is Cheryl Cooley of the all-female band Climax, and you're listening to The Michael Gay Show. Yeah.